This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Are you ready to hear the word now? I'm ready to teach you. I'm stoked tonight to teach you. I have to tell you this funny story. I spoke at a ladies group this week, and I was going to practice this sermon. I shouldn't tell you this, but I think it's funny. And so I got there, and I had my Bible, and I had my notes folded up like this in my Bible. And I sat down, and the music started, and I pulled out my notes. And I opened my notes, and it wasn't my notes. It was actually the minutes to my team meeting. How would you like to teach the minutes to your team meeting? This would not be a good thing. And so, you know, I taught it without notes. So I figure if I could teach it with just the scriptures and no notes, I'll do okay tonight. So pray for me. Some of you may have been here, I think it was two Sundays ago. Joy always gives us a little encouraging word every Sunday morning. She always blesses my socks off. And a lot of what I teach you, the Holy Spirit inspires me. Philip mentioned that what he ministered Sunday was inspired in our team prayer time when our staff is praying together. And many times, Joy is just so in the Word and listening to the Lord that oftentimes she inspires me. Teachers are inspired by all sorts of things. Well, that Sunday morning, she shared a scripture in Jeremiah. Now, I read the Bible all the time. I've read the Bible through many, many, many times. And when she read that scripture, I thought, Lord, I must have really been reading fast. I don't remember that scripture, but it fascinated me. And so I went back. And when I read it and I put it in context and I read it again, I got even more excited. And so I want to share it with you because I've been meditating on it now for 2 weeks, ever since she mentioned just one line out of this verse. So if you have your Bible and you don't want to look at the screen, now that we have things on the screen, you don't have to bring your Bible. But in your Bible, write down the reference. And it is Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 28 and 29. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to look at it a line at a time. And we'll talk about really how to meditate on the word as we go, because I'll share with you how the Holy Spirit began to open this scripture for me. And maybe it'll help you learn how the Holy Spirit can open the scripture for you. So let's read it together. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Now the line that Joy shared was the last line. My word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. But that whole passage is so powerful. I'm going to save the first line for last because I want to share a little story in the Old Testament about that particular line. So let's begin with, he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Now, you know, we all have the word of God. Did you know that? Now, I know he referred to prophets in the first line, but isn't it interesting he didn't say the prophets who have my word? He said anybody who has my word. He, she, who has my word. We are to speak the word of God faithfully. Thank God for the word of God. I love my Bible. Do you love your Bible? I love my Bible. I love the word of God. I live by the word of God. It is so powerful. But here we're told to speak the word of God. There's a scripture in Psalms 119. David said this, Psalms 119, verse 11. He said, thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So when we hide the word of God in our heart, it keeps us from making mistakes that we will have to pay for later. Actually, your heart is a storage vault for the word of God. That's what your heart is. Your heart is that place deep inside you to store the word of God. Now, we store other things in our heart too. In fact, Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of your heart, all the stuff that's in your heart that your mouth speaks. So whatever you put in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. If you cram your heart full of anger and bitterness and negative things and immoral things, that's what's going to come out your mouth. But if you put in your heart the word of God, If you put in your heart good things, that's what's going to come out of your mouth, because your heart is a storage vault for the Word of God. When you simply read the Word of God, it passes through your mind. But when you meditate on the Word of God, it moves from your mind to your spirit. And when the Word of God gets way down deep in the spirit part of your heart, it begins to change your emotion. It begins to change the way you think. It begins to change your life. Oh, yes, we have the Word of God. You know, there are nations that don't have the Word of God. There are people in the world that don't have the Word of God. When I was on television, I have a little book. It's called, it's just called Prayer now. It used to be called Prayer Journal at this time. And it's nothing more than scriptures that I pray. I broke them down into categories. I did it for the partners that helped me with television. And if you wrote into my station, well, I would give it to you. And evidently, somebody sent one of those journals to somebody in a prison. And I got a phone call from the chaplain from that prison. And he said, Mrs. Hunt, I have a page and the cover from a book that had your name on it. And he said, they've torn it apart to share it. Do you happen to have any more of these books? Oh, yeah. I'd be glad to send you just as many as you want. Those men didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have hope. They didn't know how to pray the Word. They wanted something to help them pray. There are people in other countries that don't have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to store it in our heart. And we need to speak it. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Now, you notice I talked about meditating on the Word of God. What does it mean to meditate? Now, you could do a whole teaching on how to meditate. I have done teaching on it. But let me just quickly tell you what it means. To meditate means to roll over, to stop and consider, to speak again and again. And as you speak the word again and again, I call that deep meditation. And you know what happens? It becomes so much a part of your mind and your spirit that you actually memorize that verse. Sometimes it becomes monotonous. I know that in our staff prayer, we have meditated on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for Lord, how long? Months and months and months and months. And at first, when we would meditate on it for 5 minutes, what do you mean meditate? We just say it over and over. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge Him, and He will direct my path. I trust in the Lord. We said over and over, didn't we, Justin? Over and over. And sometimes it would become monotonous. But guess what happened? It got in our heart. It got out of our mind. It got into our heart. And then as we began to give testimony week after week, we would say, well, I was going through this trial, and up out of my spirit came this verse, I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. It's become the answer to every problem. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. Do you see how the word? And you know, memorizing the word is not easy, but I encourage you, if a scripture really touches your heart, don't just read it. Think about it. Roll it over. Repeat it. Write it. Stick it on a mirror. Stick it on the refrigerator. Stick it in your car. Listen to it. Speak it until it becomes a part of you. That's what happened to me with these verses. I read them, and they began to speak to me. It just began to speak to me. The more I read these verses, the more they had to say to me. The more I thought about it, the more powerful these words became. You know, some people in this room probably haven't even started reading the Bible. Well, I encourage you, start. There's no time like the present to start reading the Bible. I like to listen to the Bible. I listen to the Bible while I'm putting my makeup on. It helps me overcome looking at myself in the mirror. But I listen to it while I'm putting my makeup on. I listen to it while I'm driving in my car. But when you're just listening to it, it doesn't register like when you read it. When I sit down with my journal and I read it, and I read line upon line upon line, then it becomes alive to me. And I really begin to understand it. And the Lord can begin to open it as he did this verse. So let's talk about how he opened this verse for me. He said, if you have the word of God, speak the word of God. He who has my word, let him speak my word and speak it faithfully. By learning to meditate on the word of God, you'll be able to speak the word rather than the problem. You know, we're good about speaking the problem, aren't we? It's easy to speak the problem. It's easy to say, I don't feel very good. It's easy to say, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's easy to say, I hope I don't lose my job. It's easy to say all those negative things. But the Lord said, change your conversation and you can change your world. Speak the word of God and speak it faithfully. And he tells us why it's important to speak the word of God faithfully. By the way, to speak it faithfully means to, if I said, I'm going to teach you every Wednesday night. Some of you say, oh, no. And Pastor Allen would say, no, you're not. But if I said that to you, and I really could, had the power to say that to you, that would mean I'm going to be here every Wednesday night, wouldn't it? It would mean you could depend on me to be here every Wednesday night. Justin has committed. He is faithful to lead our worship. So he's here. I don't have to wonder if anybody will be there to lead worship tonight. I know Justin will be there. He's leading worship faithfully, consistently, all the time, with all his heart. That's what it means to speak the word of God faithfully. It means to speak it boldly. It means to speak it consistently. It means to speak it. The spoken word of God, this is the first thing it does. It says, he who has my word, let him speak it. And then it says, what is chaff to the wheat, says the Lord. And I thought, what does that have to do with anything? What does chaff have to do with the wheat until I meditated on? What does chaff have to do with the wheat? I don't know a lot about chaff and wheat, so I looked it up. And I do know this, if you said, here's a bowl of chaff and here's a bowl of wheat, which would you rather eat? I definitely, unless I'm intolerant to wheat, want to eat the wheat. I don't want to eat the chaff because the chaff is the hull. And for centuries, anybody who had a wheat field separates the wheat from the chaff. We now have machines that do it in the United States, but there are still countries where they do it by hand. So the very first thing the Lord wants to know about us is that speaking the word of God faithfully will begin to separate for you the chaff from the wheat in your life. And I would call the chaff the useless, unimportant things. And I would call the wheat the precious. So the Lord, through his word, can separate from you for you what is precious and what is useless. There are some things in our life that are wasted time. Oh, that God would reveal to us the wasted time in our life, and he can do it through the word. In Hebrews 4:12, I love this. This is how he separates for us. The word that God speaks, this is from the Amplified Bible. The word that God speaks is alive. Isn't that wonderful? It's alive. It's full of power. It's active, operative, energizing, effective, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, you could say it's sharper than a surgeon's knife in our language. It penetrates to the dividing line of the breath of life, your soulish area, and the immortal spirit of your joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of your nature. Now, you may not want to admit this, but every person in this room has an old nature and a new nature. When you got born again, you got a new nature. You got the spirit and the life of God in your spirit. And there's a war that goes on with us. Some of us, it's a greater war than others. Some of us have learned how to fight the war more effectively. But your old nature will war with your new nature. It'll war about important things. It'll even war about unimportant things. And the word of God has the power to show you that's your old nature, Billy. And that's the spirit of the Lord, Billy. Or whatever your name is. He doesn't just talk to me. He talks to you too. But the word of God can do that. Have you ever been reading through the word of God and suddenly realized, oh my word, I am in trouble. And had to repent for something you'd done because the word of God showed you something you'd done wrong. See, the word of God, it separates. Say it separates. There's another scripture that speaks to that. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. It says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Just in case anybody asks you about that, this is a good reference. You need to write it down. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Now look what it's profitable for. It's profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is right living. If you ask, what is my doctrine? I would tell you, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's salvation only through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he came to earth as a baby. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He ministered on the earth. Then he gave his life on the cross. He died for all men, for all sin, for all time. He died. He went to hell. He took my punishment, but he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is right now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. And when he got to heaven, he sent the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside me, and I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's doctrine, folks. That's doctrine, folks. And the Bible will give you right doctrine. It'll tell you how to live right. But that isn't all. Put it back up. It's profitable for doctrine, but it's also profitable for reproof. What does that mean? It means the Bible also show you when you're wrong. There's a scripture that says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Well, I don't like that scripture, and so I try real hard never to lie. But the scripture will show you. Have you ever noticed that when you're reading the Bible? It'll show you when you're wrong. But I'm glad it doesn't just leave us there. It'll tell us, it'll give us right doctrine. It'll reprove us. It'll show us when we're wrong. But then it's for correction. For correction. Well, what is that? You know, you can tell your child you're misbehaving. That's reproof. Now stop doing that and start doing this. What are you doing? You're correcting them. And that's what the Bible will do. The Bible will show you, if you will do this, this will be the positive result. You need to get in the Word because it's powerful. Not only that, it says it will give us correction, and it will also give us instruction in righteousness. Show us how to stay right, not make the same mistake again. When you make a really major mistake in your life, one of the things that haunts you is, will I ever make a stupid mistake like that again? Well, let me announce to you, if you will get in the Word and you will get in the Lord, you will not make the same stupid mistake, because the Lord will keep you from that stupidity. That's the truth. Now, the reason the Lord gave us the Word to show you how to live right, to show you when you do wrong, to correct you, and to show you how to stay right, is because he wants you to become mature and equipped for every good work. So the scripture separates, says separate. Here's the second one. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord. The word of God is like a fire. I asked Justin to sing that light of fire, because the word of God is like a fire. It actually lights a fire inside me. There are sometimes the word of God inspires me so. It just motivates me so. I read in the word. There have been times I've been reading in the word, and I could say with old Jeremiah, if you turn back over to, I think it's chapter 20 in Jeremiah, he says something real interesting. Jeremiah was real bold, and he was not the most popular guy in town. He had really almost no friends. Nobody liked him because he prophesied. And he prophesied that if they didn't clean their act up, they were going into captivity. Nobody liked him. And so listen to what he said. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. I will not speak any more of his name. He said, okay, I'm going to give them what they want. I'm going to quit prophesying. I'm not mentioning God again. I'm not speaking his name. But his word, say his word, was in my, where was it? In my heart, like a burning fire. It was shut up in my bones. I was weary. I couldn't hold it back. I just could not. Now listen, I want the word of God to be like that in you. When the enemy comes and threatens you and tells you everything's going to be wrong and horrible, I want the word of God to be like a fire shut up in your bones. And it'll just pop up in you, and it'll destroy the works of the enemy and defeat him every time. That's what I want. The word of God is like a fire. Jesus said at the end of the age, the angels were going to come, and they were going to separate people who were considered chaff and people who were considered wheat. And the chaff was going to be burned with fire. I want to be wheat in those days, don't you? And the other thing fire does, fire will burn up, but fire will also purify. It will purify. The fire of God will purify. And you know, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, he set on them and there was fire above their head. They were ignited with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is like fire. It will ignite you. It will empower you. It will purify you. It will purify you. So let the Holy Spirit, let the Word of God purify you. Allow the fire of God to destroy all your doubts and fears. Burn them up. Allow God's Word to be fire in your bones. When you read the Word, when you meditate on the Word, when you hide the Word of God in your heart, it's going to surface when you need it. Here's the third one. This is the one that Joy talked about. The Word of God is like a hammer. It's like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. The Word of God is like a hammer. My husband used to work in building, and they did a lot of remodeling, he and the fellow he worked with. And one of the things my husband got to do occasionally was to break up the tile floors when they were going to put a new floor in. And he had a power hammer, but it really didn't make him sore when he had to use that thing all day because it was really powerful. But really, the Word of God is so powerful, but with a regular hammer on a rock, think about Mount Rushmore. Did it ever occur to you how long it took for somebody to do Mount Rushmore? We see that car commercial where it just blows up and it's there. That is not the way it happened. It took a long time. Let me tell you the most marvelous things I have received from God. I received with the hammer of the Word. I just kept hammering away. You say, how do you hammer the Word? In prayer. Lord, you said, and you quote the Word back to him. He loves it when you quote the Word. There's a scripture in Isaiah, I think it's around Isaiah 50. I have to look it up because it's not my notes. But it's talking about the Lord wanting to bless Jerusalem. And he said, I have set watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, saith the Lord, and they will never keep silent day or night. They're like little hammers. They are constantly harassing the Lord, reminding the Lord. He said, give him no rest. You who pray and remind the Lord of his promises, give him no rest until he establishes. Just keep hammering away. And it isn't just the Lord hammering away with the Word, but it's the devil. It's the enemy. It's your circumstances. You got to use the Word as a hammer. The Word is a separator of the worthless from the precious. The Word is a fire that will purify us. And the Word is a hammer that will break us. It's a hammer. You know, there's a story in Luke 18 of a little woman who used a hammer, the hammer of her words. She went, but actually that story is a story of persistent prayer. And that's what the Bible says, is this a parable of persistent prayer that we might always pray and never give up. She went to a wicked king and she presented her case again and again and again. And finally, this is what that king said. This widow troubles me. I will avenge her, lest she continue coming and wears me out. I want to wear out the devil, don't you? I want to wear him out with the Word of God. I want him to say, I cannot stand that woman. I'm getting away from her. She is driving me crazy. All she does is speak the Word, and I don't want to hear it. Oh, yeah. Speak the Word. Say, speak the Word. So Jeremiah 23:28-29. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. He who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Finally tonight, I want to share a narrative in the book of Ezekiel because I think it's a beautiful illustration of these verses in Jeremiah and the power of the Word of God. Ezekiel was a powerful, powerful prophet. And he had, I don't really know how he saw what he saw, whether he saw it in a dream, whether he had an open vision. There are all sorts of ways that the Lord can show you things. Probably the closest thing to a vision I've ever had was walking and praying on the trails in the woodlands one morning. And not with my natural eyes, but with the Spirit, I perceived angels on both sides of the path. Tall, tall angels. And it really frightened me because I thought I might be in danger because the Bible says he gives his angels charge over us to keep us. And so I thought I was in danger. I said, Lord, I prayed out loud, Lord, what are these angels? Am I in danger? And this is what he spoke to my spirit. No, they've come for your words, Now I pray the word. I pray the scripture. I speak the word faithfully. I got really excited. I spoke it with more faithfulness and power than I'd ever spoken it before. I prayed over all my family. I prayed over every ministry I knew. I prayed over the president. I prayed over the world. I spoke the word. I called the kingdom of God to the earth. And as I was heading back home, I perceived that the angels were gone. And that upset me too. Where are they, Lord? Did I offend them? And this is what he said. I love this. They have taken your words. I was speaking the word of God. They have taken your words to perform them. And he reminded me of Hebrews. Are not angels ministering spirits sent to minister the word of God? Wow. So that was kind of a vision. And there have been times in my life where I've had dreams that were from the Lord. And when they were from the Lord, I knew it. I didn't know what they meant usually until later, but I knew it. So let's look at Ezekiel, this vision, dream, whatever it was he had, and let's see what it can speak to us. Ezekiel 37, we're going to read a little bit and then stop and talk and read a little bit more. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. Now that would be scary, wouldn't it? And he led me back and forth among those bones, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And God asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, now listen to what he says. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's good, huh? Yeah. Now this is a great illustration of the verses as we go on reading in this that I'm sharing today. Because I want you to see as we go along that there are dry bone situations in our life that we will face. This was a disconnected, all of these bones were disconnected. They were scattered. This looked like an impossible situation. There was no life in these bones. And then God says, can they live again? What a question. The natural man would say, absolutely not. But he knew his God. And he said, Lord, only you know. And so then the Lord told him what to do. And you know, in your life, think just for a minute. Is there a dead situation? Maybe a dead relationship. Maybe your finances are dead right now. Maybe there's a ministry that you once longed for, and it just seems as though it's died. You know, when in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, the latter part of that verse, it's talking about Abraham's relationship with God, and this is what he said about him. God gives life to dead things. And he calls things which are not yet in existence as though they already existed. That's the way God is. God can give life to dead things. And things that don't yet exist, he talks about them like they already existed. So he answered, Lord, you know. Now look at God's solution to the dead bones. He said, prophesy. And this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I'm going to make breath enter you, and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you, and I will make your flesh come upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Wow. Whew, I kind of would have liked to have been sitting in the grandstands watching this, or maybe been right there by Ezekiel. That would have been fun. The Lord said, he told him exactly what he was going to do. The word of God will often tell you exactly what God's going to do. And when you find out what God's going to do, then that's what you prophesy. Prophesy to those dead situations. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And then he said, so I prophesied. And as I was prophesying, listen to this, there was a noise. There was a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Now let me stop here. Because a lot of times in our life, we'll be praying and asking God for something, and we will get a partial answer. That was a partial answer. God didn't say, I'm gonna get you looking good and leave you as a bunch of dead statues in the desert. That's not what he said. He said, I'm going to breathe my life into you, and you're going to live again. Now, that's what God said. So if the Lord says, I'm going to heal you, well, he's going to heal you. And don't stop believing and confessing and speaking the word over that situation until it is complete. Until it is complete. Now, praise the Lord for the partial. Gail, give him a hand clap. Praise the Lord for the partial. I praise the Lord. When he does anything, I'll tell you, if I saw those bones come together, if I saw tendon and flesh, I would praise the Lord. I would probably faint. And after I came to, I would praise the Lord. But listen to what he said. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come and breathe from the four winds. Breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet as a vast army. Now you say, what in the world was the purpose of that? Well, really, what God was speaking to was not a valley of dry bones. Listen to what he was speaking to. He said, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They have said, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves. Listen, some of you feel like that. You feel like your bones are dried up. You have lost your hope. There is no hope. But listen to what God says. I am going to open your graves. I'm going to bring you up out of your graves. I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel. Then my people will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Wow. That's what God wants to do for us. And by the way, Israel is a nation. Israel did return to her land. This prophecy did come to pass. And I believe as surely as God spoke that prophecy to Ezekiel for Israel, tonight he's speaking to some of you. There is hope. It's not over till you win. We don't stop fighting till we win. We have the word of God. We speak it boldly. It will separate. It will purify. We will hammer until the promise comes to pass. Did that bless you? Bow your heads. There may be somebody here tonight that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life. That's the first step. That's the first step. Or you may say, Billy, I have made Jesus the Lord of my life, but I'm not serving him right now. I really need to rededicate my life. If either one of those things is you, slip your hand in the air and let me pray for you. I see your hand. Anybody? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. We're going to pray a prayer. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to all pray it together. And as we pray this prayer, from the bottom of your heart, recommit yourself to the Lord tonight. This is the night. The Bible says the day we prayed, the tide of the battle turned. We're praying tonight. This is the night the tide of your battle turns. Pray after me. Oh God, I know I need to be saved. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because I've said yes to you. And now, Father, I pray that you will help us speak the word of God boldly. And as we speak the word, you will show us, and we will be willing to let you separate us from the things that are worthless and pull us toward the preciousness of you. I ask you, Lord, to purify us with your word. And I ask you, Lord, to give us the strength and the courage to hammer out until the promise comes to pass. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.